Great coffee.
This place is known for its coffee.
Really?
No. Oh, I don't know.
Interesting. I was like, wow, I'd believe it. It's really good.
What is it, 8th and Roast? That's my friend Q who owns 8th and Roast. Really good guy.
Really?
Yep.
We love him.
I don't want to give him a free plug. I don't think he deserves it, but
I'm done with you.
I'm giving him the plug.
I also feel really funky. I'm going to not wear these now, actually.
Because now you're worried about the hair, right?
No, it was more like I couldn't really hear. Like, it was like a weird mind trip just now. Like, it's when I have AirPods in and I'm on the phone and I can't hear myself. I hate it.
Wait, what do you mean?
Like, AirPods to me are really interesting. I love them, but I fucking hate talking on the phone on them.
Do you know what I think? I think Bluetooth is going to be the next smoking. Like, I think in 20 to 50 years, we're going to look back and we're going to say it's crazy how much Bluetooth we used in our life. Do you think I'm insane?
No.
Like, I think Bluetooth, can I have my voice down a little bit in the headphones, just the volume down a little bit? I think Bluetooth is literally, like, going to give us cancer. Like, when I wear my AirPods, my ears start ringing and hurting.
Oh, 100%.
100%, right? 100%.
I think that all of this, that, like, we're not meant to have stuff right here.
Well, I actually feel like this is okay. I think it's the Bluetooth.
Are those in-ears?
These are in-ears.
Yeah, they're fire.
Yeah.
In-ears are the shit.
I think these are fine. I don't think these are killing me, but I think Bluetooth.
Well, yeah, because it's connecting wireless to something that is now, like, so close to your brain that it's kind of terrifying.
That's what I'm saying. And then I think the like, white noise cancellation.
100%.
I'm not an alarmist. Like, I don't want to give you that vibe, but...
Oh, but it's okay if you are.
I'm not. I just think that Bluetooth is going to be like in 20 years, they're going to say it's crazy how much Bluetooth, how casually we use Bluetooth. Shailen, it is so great to meet you.
Hello.
This is so exciting. Okay, so I was like doing a big deep dive here.
Yeah.
Because you were previously like a pop artist.
Oh, I was.
And now you're doing this like really authentic country thing.
Yes.
But I was doing this deep dive and I learned that you were like on this sitcom TV show.
I was.
So then I started watching this show.
Oh, God.
The Wannabes.
Oh, God.
Which I thought was actually very fun.
Okay, I'm so glad.
Well, why? What do most people say about this show?
Most people can't talk English today. Most people don't know it exists because it was so long ago. And
does anybody recognize you from this show? Do you ever get recognized
from
it? You
know what's so wild is on my TikTok and Instagram, there are so many people from that.
It was like 10
life.
Years ago.
It's wild.
Yeah.
Wild. I was a baby. But we were really popping in Australia, South America, like all these different places. Even though it did air here, we had so much recognition outside of the U.S. So a lot of it, majority of this stuff comes from Australia.
Really?
Kind of crazy.
Like, have you been to Australia?
I have not yet. We were supposed to go on a tour there. We did do the South America tour, which was amazing. And the craziest thing, because I actually felt like Justin Bieber there. Like, we couldn't even go into our hotel. People were, like, freaking out.
Are you serious?
Oh, it was wild. I was like, and I was 16 at the time. I just felt like I was the coolest kid on the planet. And then I'd come back to America and I'd be like, nobody knows me, but it's fine.
This was originally, though, a band. Like, this was a real band was put together, right?
Yeah. So, funny thing is, we actually started as a Christian pop group in Texas. And we would tour all of
the churches.
Where in Texas? Houston is where it originated.
Were you part of, there's that amazing woman in Houston whose name I can't think of, but she trained Beyonce and Casey Musgraves and all these people.
No, I was a part of a school called Septian in Dallas.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Is that Linda?
Linda Septian.
Yes.
Am I right? Did she train those people or did I make that up?
She trained them. And I did her master program for years.
I'm in touch with her. And she always finds great artists.
Yep. She has such an eye for it. Yeah. Like,
what does she do? Because I've always wondered what goes on in those classes. Like, what is she teaching?
I will say back when because I don't know. I know she's like changed the format a lot since, I mean, this was when
I moved to Houston to work with her.
So she, when I started, was based in Dallas. She was based out of Addison, Texas. She had her studio there.
Okay.
And you have to audition, like you have to go through this extensive program because it's like, there's levels if you want to do like an intro class, whatever. But I was hellbent on doing the master classes. And so you audition, you go through all these different rounds, and then basically you're placed with different teachers each week. Like, I didn't have a life outside of school. Like, I'd go to school, and then right as I'm done, I'd head to Septian. I'd be there from like 4 to 9 every night. I would train with Andrea Wallace, who I like really developed this gospel side to me. She was incredible. Bridget. And then I also did like training on like media classes on, because this was right before social media really was a thing.
So like, what? So they're training like how to
give like an you have to sing, you have to act, you have to dance, you had to play an instrument. Like,
and why are all these people in Houston? Why are all these brilliant people?
There's something in the water.
There's just something there.
Something
because like
water.
So many artists have gone through this program.
It's crazy.
It's insane.
It's crazy. Jonas Brothers, Selena, all of them.
Yeah.
Demi was a big one for her.
Yeah.
In fact, I was like. Right at the time Demi was going is when I was going.
And so we did you interact with her ever?
I did. She's a great girl.
Yeah.
Great girl. Very talented.
Okay, wait. So did she put this group together originally?
No.
Or were all these people like her alumni or no?
No. In fact, it was so weird. I had just auditioned for that group because my dad had just moved to Houston. Or like he was working out of Houston. And there were these auditions. And I was like, well, let's see how it goes. Like it started at the Fellowship of the Woodlands in Houston. And I got in. And like really, we had no plan on being anything other than this Christian group. Like that was it. And then like 4 or 5 years later, this lady, Doreen Spicer, who created the Proud Family on Disney Channel.
Yeah. And Jump In. She did the movie Jump In. Right. Yeah.
And she wrote an entire like thing around us that was basically Saved by the Bell meets Hannah Montana, like combined. We were not allowed to perform in the school. And then after every episode, there'd be a music video. And we had all this music for the show. But we had just started off on a pilot. We filmed the pilot in Fellowship of the Woodlands. It was privately invested.
Why'd you have to go to Michigan to do this? Didn't you shoot the whole thing in Michigan?
Crazy. You're good. You're really good.
But why Michigan?
The tax incentive at that time in the film industry was so good there. And then we also found a high school that was entirely brand new, but they, wherever in Howell, like there wasn't enough people to occupy it because so many people were moving out of the area. And we basically filmed, so most of the hallway scenes, everything is at actual high school. And then we just filmed they built a massive set in the gym for the sweet shop that we would film in. And it was crazy.
So that sweet shop actually was just, you were inside the gym.
Yes.
And you were at a set inside the gym.
Yep.
And these shows seem like you guys are having a lot of fun on them, like all these shows.
Yep.
But were you actually having fun?
To be honest with you, this show in particular, it was my best friends. Like that was
they were your best friends.
They were my best friends. Yeah. They were like, because we were a thing before all of this.
So this was great. You probably had no friends in Michigan other than these people. Did you meet any? Like you guys would just hang out.
We brought a lot of people to Howell. Like it was wild. Like
what do you mean? Like you brought your close friends?
Like we, our crew and everybody, because like we gave a lot of people jobs at that point. Like Michigan was like, it was a bad time in Michigan. And we brought like, I think our set alone had like, I think we hired like 50 to 70 people to work for that particular show. So it was like we had all these people because we'd film 5 days a week and we'd start at 6 a.m. and we'd end at 6 p.m. And then I would do school with a private tutor from 7 to 10. And that was just my life.
And then what would you do on the weekends?
Literally, we would block for the next episode. So we'd do blocking.
And how long did it take to shoot?
Oh, God.
The season.
So we were there for a year and we shot 2 seasons. So it's 26 episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it took about a year because the first like half of it was just getting in a groove. None of the people that started this whole thing had ever done a TV show. Like it is a very different.
What do you mean?
World.
Like none of the staff? Like you guys?
Like my management? Like we'd never.
Nobody.
Nobody.
So how'd it get done?
It was, thank God, one that everybody that we did hire was obviously union. Like they knew what they were doing.
They knew what was going on. Yeah.
But as far as like we flew in so many people from LA. Like Richard Lyons was our acting coach. Doreen was there every day, executive producing. George Blake, the writers, like Arthur. We had flown all of these people in. From LA, and my management at the time, and then us as a group, like we'd never done TV, so we didn't know what blocking was on the weekends. Like you have to go in and literally map out each scene for the next week, and each like you shoot like a scene a day, and it's just a different world. Like filming is a different world.
Yeah.
So it was honestly like it feels like another lifetime that I did that, but it was some of the best times of my life.
Do you look back on those episodes? Do you cringe when you watch them?
Absolutely.
Or do you go, this is actually kind of good, or this
is
kind of cool?
It's cute for what it is. Like I was a baby. Like I think that when we started, I was 15. So I was a baby, and like you can fully see me start going through like puberty. Like as
I didn't
far
get
as,
that far. I watched. Oh my God. I watched the first like 3 episodes.
It was wild. Like I by the end
what
of
happens
the
at
season,
the end?
Like
ruin
I look like a different person.
Really?
entirely different person. We were supposed to have a third season, and we signed to Young Money Cash Money at the time on the record label.
You were one of their first pop acts that they signed. Ever.
And it was a curse and a blessing because they didn't really know what they were doing with a pop group. And we had so much momentum at that time. And we had a third season, and they had to, like, they wanted a piece of the TV side as well, but they had, like, missed out on the third season to sign off on it. So
so that killed the third season?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Wouldn't you think that they would want that season as a promotional vehicle for you guys?
It's crazy because, listen, when I love them. I have nothing bad to say about them.
But let me say some bad things about them.
When I tell you, it was just a shit show. It was a shit show. Like, that world, pop compared to, like, the hip-hop world,
yeah,
it's an entirely different universe. Like, Birdman and Slim would show up at, like, I remember they had us come to a meeting at the Hip Factory in Miami, and we were kids, and they were like, yep, they want to meet at 9 p.m., which is already kind of late. They wouldn't show up till like 3 or 4 in the morning.
This was their team?
Oh, yeah. Like, that's just, like, standard. That's just standard.
Oh, my
standard.
God.
Like, sometimes, like, Lil Wayne and Nicki and all them, like, maybe show up for sessions at, like, 4 in the morning.
And how,
like,
old are you guys at this point?
I'm 16.
16.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, then we go to the Grammy parties, and what I tell you is the first, like, I'm a pretty good girl at this point in my life. Very, like, just by the book, and the things that I witnessed at my first Grammy party. I was like, wow, there were so many strippers everywhere, which was awesome. Like,
I was at the Grammys last week. I didn't see any strippers.
No, nope, this was a different
going
time.
To the wrong parties.
This was pre, like, phones being out and everybody, and, like,
yeah,
like, filming and stuff. So there were also, like, I remember going to the bathroom and there were these girls that I thought it was powdered sugar, but it was definitely cocaine.
Right.
And I was like,
I didn't see any of that
this
year at the Grammys. Maybe
no,
I was
now
at the wrong parties.
Everyone's very censored now. You have to be.
I think I was at the wrong parties.
I think maybe.
Or maybe they're just not doing it anymore.
I don't think they're doing it anymore.
But this just blows my mind, though. Like, what a way. Are you grateful for these experiences?
I wouldn't trade one moment of it.
Yeah.
Because to get to where I am now, everything had to happen.
Did you have friends? Where'd you go to high school? In Houston?
Allen High School in Dallas.
In Dallas. Yep. Dallas. Did you outgrow, like, did you feel like you grew up a lot faster than
other
friends?
I literally, sophomore year, I left.
Yeah.
And I didn't do high school.
And are you in touch with any of your friends?
I have, like, 3 friends that I talk to.
Yeah.
And that's about it. But as far as, like, people support me, and it's wild because Instagram and everything has made it so cool to stay connected.
Yeah.
And it's just so nice to get some of the messages. It's like, girl, I knew since elementary school. And I was like, wow, that's really cool. Like,
yeah.
Really, really cool.
I think they're trying to come out of the woodwork to say they were always your friend. They're trying to cash in.
You know what? It's I like to just think positive and be like, you know, it's
That's a genuine person who wants to be my friend. No, they're trying to cash in on your success. They want you to invite them to the parties that you're going to with the
you
strippers.
You know, it's definitely might be a thing.
But that's okay.
That's okay.
Bring them with you.
Honestly, I'd bring the whole world if I could.
Yeah.
Because honestly, just that message alone, I could have been having a horrible day. And whether it was authentic or not, you helped me get through that day.
When you were at Septian, is that how you say it?
Mm-hmm.
That's her
Septian.
Name. Linda. Who's a hoot.
She is hilarious.
I met her in New Orleans.
She is.
In 2019. And
okay.
We had oysters together.
Love this journey for you.
And right. And I met her with a really good friend of mine, Michael Dixon, who introduced me to her. And she's from Louisiana, isn't she?
Yeah.
And she was a hoot. Oh,
my God.
She's a
character.
And we talk maybe every 6 months.
That's amazing.
Give or take.
I love her.
It doesn't sound like we talk that often.
No, 6 months is a lot, though.
But, like, we talk and she'll, like, tell me anyway, it doesn't matter. When you're there and you're with, like, all these other people, is it really competitive? And, like, or do you hate everyone? Or are you friends with everyone, but do you secretly hate everyone? Like, what's the vibe?
Oh, man. In the entertainment industry, as it is just, like, we all know it's cutthroat.
Yeah.
To be a female in the entertainment industry.
Really cutthroat.
Really freaking cutthroat. So I think with, like, the male artists that were there, you just don't give 2 craps about it.
Yeah.
Females, it's just, like, you kind of know, like, you're pitted against each other already.
And are you fake friends with them? Or would you actually hang out with them?
You know what's so funny? Until you give me a reason to kind of, like, I've always been the girl that I'm really not threatened like that. Like, if if you're dope, if you are, if you lead with integrity, like there's room for everybody. There really is.
Yeah. But do you have that foresight?
There were some girls.
Do you have? But do you have that mentality when you're 14 or 15 or 16? Like, do you know that?
I think because my mom was always just like, be humble, support each, like support everybody that you meet.
Yeah.
But there were a few girls that made it kind of hard.
Like, what did they do?
There was one girl in particular in my group that we started off as friends, and that was like my sister.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I started to get more and more of like, the, like producers would give me the solo leads. They would get, and like all of a sudden, it wasn't so much about her. And when I tell you, like, down to the sneaker I was wearing, like, if I was a little bit taller, like, her mom and her would be like, no, she needs to be over here. Like,
oh, her mom would get
Oh, it was nuts. The stage moms.
This is, like, terrifying. A real thing.
Oh, it's a thing.
And they would say, like, if you were next to her or whatever. Like,
oh, she'd have to. Or, like, if we were both wearing, like, kind of the similar color, I couldn't. Like, I wasn't allowed to be a certain style. Like, I really loved, like, more streetwear and everything.
Yeah.
But I had to be, like, I had to dress very, like, boho chic, and I didn't want to dress like that. Like, but we all, like, there were three girls, and I had to have, she got to do that, and I didn't. And I always wanted to dye my hair blonde, but she got to be the blonde, and I had to be the brunette. Like, I couldn't mess with my hair. I had to look a certain way. Like, it was so frustrating.
Is that one of those things, because I feel like sometimes, like, I look back on moments when I was younger, and I should just said, I should have had the confidence to just be like, yo, my hair's blonde.
What
are you gonna do?
You're gonna come
after me?
Honestly, I like it was like her mom scared me so bad.
Yeah, don't
her
you
mom,
wish now if you met her, you would have torn her apart, right?
I wouldn't have torn her apart, but I definitely would have been like, listen, this isn't your show. This is all of our show.
Yeah.
I'm gonna do this and I wanna do it and I'm not gonna be threatened by you.
Yeah.
But you don't know that when you're younger. In fact, you think your life is on the line,
yeah,
which you, like, most of the time I did.
Yeah, it's very intimidating.
Because they would even do stuff outside of, like, they would start rumors about, like, my mom or something. And, like,
some
crazy stuff. And I was like, wait a second. Like, it was kind of, like, a lot of drama. And I was like, I didn't sign up for this.
Yeah.
This is crazy. And then she, like, out of nowhere quit.
The mom quit?
No.
The girl. The girl quit.
Out of nowhere quit.
She didn't have an dinner.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Okay, so you do the show, you sign to the label deal, you
yep.
go to these crazy Grammy parties,
yep.
and then what happens? The band gets dropped?
So we get shelved. Which, that's a
it's
whole
worse.
Other thing. It's so bad, because you just sit there and you, like, nobody answers your calls, like, you're not getting, like, just anything. It's just like, you just
yeah.
sit there.
And are you guys still best friends at this point?
We are. But we're start like now there's tension because
what was the name of the band? Was the band really called The Wannabes?
That was the TV show.
That was the TV show.
The Wannabes starring Savvy.
Right.
So Savvy was in the group.
Don't you say that in the show? Like, don't you say we're called Savvy?
Yes.
And then the guy who owns this candy store says, no, you're The Wannabes.
Yes.
Horrible name. That was a bad.
Horrible.
Why? It's a horrible name.
When I look back, I'm like, we could have done a better name.
The band could have been Savvy. You could have been called The Candy Shop. That would have been a great.
Well, because
name.
we had to be incognito, because the principal, if he found out we were performing outside of school, like, we would have been expelled.
Right.
Expelled? Yeah.
Which also blows my mind, too. The whole show doesn't make any sense.
It's no sense at all.
But anyway, so.
It's so stupid.
So you, okay, so you're shelved, and then how's that saga basically close?
So we all still live in Texas at this point. We were traveling back and forth all the time to LA.
Yeah.
And I'm 17 now. This has been a good, like, 8 months, and I'm like, okay, screw this. I'm going out there. You guys should come with me. Let's get in their face. Let's start filming YouTube videos. Like, I don't know what else to do. Which, at this point in the music world, you could not leak songs. Like, you would be, like, you're shunned from the face of the planet. At this point, like, I was willing to kind of, like, risk that, because I was like, these songs are just going to sit there. Because we did the whole album with Red One.
Yeah. Didn't you fly to
Paris?
To Paris.
Yeah.
To record.
There's
with
where all of our budget went.
Were those flights to Paris?
And they put us, like, in first class. We really did it up. And
yeah.
like hip hop versus pop, you have to have budget for radio. Like
right.
you just have to have it. It's actually equally as if not more important for the budget for radio. So we
and
had
when
no
you're
budget.
In with Red One, do you really get the sense that, like, this dude is a freaking pop genius?
Oh, he was a genius. Also, every one of his team was a genius.
Really?
Every one of them.
And where are those songs? Are they online?
Some of them are now.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we like got frisky with it and we put some up on there.
Yeah.
And we put the music video up because it never came out. It was like $500,000 music video.
Nobody ever saw it until you guys put it out.
And really nobody even saw it then. Like, it's just like.
But it's there.
It's
how
there.
Do you find it? How do you find it?
I think you could literally look up Young and Reckless Savvy and it's there.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so then you get shelved.
Yep.
And then what? The band sort of fizzles.
So I move out to LA. They follow me. So my parents were like, listen, if that's what you got to do, you're really young. This is crazy. But like, we support you. Financially, I was living off of, nobody told me, because my parents, nobody does music in my family. And none of us really knew like how advances work. So I was like, oh yeah, like I'll be on this money. Like,
money's gonna come back in. No, it dries
it
up.
It literally goes like that. Yeah. Like, and when I moved out there and I realized how expensive LA was, when I tell you the only thing I could afford for the first year, 200 square foot apartment.
You had to work 5 jobs.
So many jobs.
What'd you do?
Buffalo Wild Wings waitress.
Yep.
I would wedding sing on the weekends. Yep. I would run people's social media like, I had no idea what I was doing.
How do you not feel like here you are on the show, you've got this big record deal.
My
how do you not
world,
feel like this is so below you? Like, how do you do this without just feeling like,
I think it was very humbling.
Yeah,
I think
how do you
that,
not
like,
get so humbled by this?
It was wild because like my whole life was like up, 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 up. And then it made me realize that this industry, it can be taken away like that.
Yeah.
Like anybody at any time can come for your spot.
And how, yeah, right?
It's, if you're not like, doing vocal warm-ups every day, if you're not thinking of how to market yourself, if you're not, like, especially now more than ever, someone else is going to come up.
Did anyone ever recognize you from the show while you were
working? Not
in
the States.
Not in the States.
And not, yeah, no, like, we were still very, very, like, we had the trajectory to be so much bigger in the States. So when I was working, like, I think that's also why it didn't really faze me. I also am just one of those people, like, I just survive. Like, anything I have to do, I don't even put an ego with it. I
What's
just
gonna
have to
get
do
done.
It. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I came out there, no money to my name, instantly had to get a job.
And you had to work 5 jobs because you couldn't work at one long enough to get the money that you needed to pay your rent. Like,
yeah,
it needed all
it was
5
crazy.
Jobs. Like, it wasn't like you couldn't work at Buffalo Wild Wings every night. That wasn't going to work.
So at first, when they just started me in the dining room, I wasn't making enough on tips.
Yeah.
Like, it was, like, very, very little on tips. And then I, like, also applied for this place, Fig and Olive, which was way more, like, bougie. But you had to train for 3 weeks, so you don't get paid while you're training. You don't get tips.
Yeah.
So I was just doing things that, like, when I started to move to the bar and, like, was an actual bartender, then I made money and I worked 5 days a week. But as far as, like, that first, like, getting my foot in the door, I had to do that with the wedding singing on the side, the social media.
That was the best gig you had, the wedding singing gig, right?
The best and kind of the worst because I had to travel all over and I was just, like...
But you were traveling all over the West Coast or even...
Like, to Arizona, to different places like that. And I didn't have... gas money. Like, I was like, this is crazy.
The wedding was, or the band or the wedding wasn't paying for your travel?
No.
What are you talking about? You would just book these gigs?
I would book these gigs that were kind of like local, but not like, they were local, but then like Arizona was
enough
of a drive.
But how much do you make for a wedding? You can do pretty well, right?
You can do like $500 to $700 in a night, which is great.
But if you spend $200-$300.
It's crazy.
On travel and what,
also,
a hotel?
Also, my rent for 200 square feet.
How much was it?
It was $1,200, which is very cheap.
But
I'm in 200 square feet.
200 square feet.
You, like, that's not even, like, that's maybe this room.
Yeah.
Maybe. I didn't have a kitchen. I didn't have a, like, I had one sink for my bathroom. I had.
I lived in a 400 square foot apartment. I think it was the size of this room.
Oh, yeah.
So I think 200.
I think it's just, like, without that smaller. Over there.
I remember, my apartment was my bed, my desk, the door.
Yep. That was mine. And, like, when I tell you this girl has clothes. And I got there and I was like, where's the closet? Like,
yeah, I had a closet.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
And the landlord was, she was crazy.
Yeah.
She was crazy. Like, I remember I was so depressed my first year there, like, miserable. But I was like, I was stuck in a lease. I had no money to go back and break it. Like, I also was just really determined at this point. Like, maybe like three months, my group was like staying and renting this house and they were all living together and I was living on my own. Which was also really lame. But
can I tell you something? I moved into that small apartment because I wanted to live alone. I could have lived in a bigger apartment with other people, but I said, I don't want to live with anyone. I want to live alone.
Well, see, I wanted to live with my group. But
so the whole group was living together and you were not living with them?
And there was like a weird, because I used to date one of the members.
Which one?
Andrew.
Which one was Andrew?
He's like the tall, kind of blonde.
He was the one who had more of a bullish haircut, yeah. Not as much of as like the wavy hair.
Yeah,
I know exactly. That's you. And did everyone know that you guys were dating?
Oh yeah.
Were you dating on the show?
We weren't allowed to like date. Like we would have to like be separate in interviews and stuff like that.
But on like, the show, like we can go watch that show and try to pick up on.
Oh, you can totally tell
that you guys are dating.
Like we were like that was like my teenage love. Like
teenage
I loved
love.
Him. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I loved him.
Where's he now?
He, I believe, leads fellowship, like the singing at the Fellowship of the Woodlands. He's married with, I think, 3 babies.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, so okay, so you're living in the small place. They're all living alone.
Yeah.
Okay, but here's what I want to get to. Because you've said this publicly, and I'm trying to understand what goes on here. But so you're not really a songwriter for most of your life.
So roughly.
Like, roughly.
I was still like, when I tell you when I worked with the Red One Camp, I was like, yeah. Oh, I don't know how to write a song to save my life. Yeah. Like, not on this level.
So, but then you go to a music festival and you basically do like a bunch of drugs. And I want to know what kind of drugs you're doing because I'm getting no inspiration from any of the drugs I'm doing. It's not working out for me.
Oh my God.
Of a sudden, you just know how to write songs. Is this story?
I want to know what interview you watched.
Clarify this story. I don't think it's. I actually think it's probably exactly like I said. Clarify the story here. What actually happens at this?
I'm getting already. Am I allowed to say this?
You could say anything you want. Nobody. This is what happens when your manager doesn't show up. I mean, come on. No, I'm kidding.
Oh my God.
What's the story though? Because I actually think this is fascinating. You're at this music festival, and what?
Bright red right now.
This is a real story though.
Where did you find this?
So you're at this music festival. It's an EDM festival.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. EDM festival.
Yeah.
And you what's the story? Should we not talk about this? I feel like this is
no,
a pivotal
it's great
moment.
Because I think you're the only person that's because I don't think I've actually ever said that it was from that. I think that you're the only person that's picked up on that.
Okay. So you're at was it an EDM festival?
It was Wakarusa to be exact.
I don't know
Arkansas.
What that is. Is that a big
it is like this weird festival that happens for 3 days, you camp out. And
that sounds miserable to me.
It's in Arkansas. It's very strange.
Okay,
so but I was a big rave girl.
Yeah,
big rave girl.
And what do you smoke a little pot and that, or and all of a sudden, whatever you do, now you know how to write songs.
Okay, I will say, I'll let your mind wander as far as
yeah. But something happens at this festival, and you end up knowing how to write songs.
Okay, so I will say.
Are we gonna cut this part out?
Great magical moment that did happen for me. I was sitting there watching. What was I watching? Was it Bass Nectar? It was somebody that came on. And needless to say, I'll like allude to the fact that like definitely hallucinated.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah.
We'll let your mind wander. Because Tommy might kill me if I actually.
But it's already
say.
Out there. You've already said this. So, but then that tells you. You, what happens?
Okay.
So,
I wake up the next day and there was something like, even just like the atmosphere, like the energies that I could pick up on. And then I remember hearing this song. He had played, oh my God, was it Nicky Romero? I think it's Nicky Romero Legacy is what the song's called. I don't know what it was about the chord progressions in the song. The combination of everything.
It
that
all made
night.
Sense.
It just clicked. And I just remember at that point, I was like, oh my God, I really want to do EDM music. So that's where it really started. Because I still, like, when I tell you I was trying to figure out my identity and who I was after being in a group for 10 years of my life, I had no idea who I was. We were doing pop music that, like, pop music was starting to change. All of a sudden, the Chainsmokers were starting to become a thing. And that kind of songwriting that was storytelling. Because there's a huge difference between Katy Perry, California Girls or Teenage Dream, like it's storytelling, but then you have something like Chainsmokers of just Baby Pull Me Closer in the backseat of like it's a very visual thing that I was like, oh my God, it's so conversational. I get that. It just clicked for me after this night. I like went back. I started messaging because no one at the time would still work with me because I was still with Cash Money. So Cash Money at this point, a lot of people are suing them. There's like some weird like stigma around it. And no one would really get in the studio with me anyways. I also was working so many jobs that I couldn't get into a
studio.
Doesn't
that drive you crazy when like someone's reputation or
it's
whatever.
Tainted by somebody else's.
Tainted by someone else's.
And I like had no, I was just like, man, this really sucks. Cause like at 6 months before that, everyone was like, oh, you're with Cash Money. Let's get in. Like, and all of a sudden it's like no one wanted to work with me. I couldn't get into studios cause I was working so many jobs. Like my group went back to Texas. Like I was so lost for like a good 2 to 3 years when I first got there.
Yeah.
And then this festival happens. I go back. I get on SoundCloud. And when I tell you, I just started messaging anybody and everybody who would just send me a blank track. Like, I didn't know what else to do.
What do you say? You say...
I was like, hi, this is Shaylin. I'm an artist. Here's a link to my songs that are, like, currently demos. Because I just had, like, a few little demos here and there. Which, looking back, were horrible. And wish I never sent anybody those. But you got to do what you got to do. And I was like, if you have any tracks or if you're looking for a feature artist, would love to hop on something. And majority of them would just open the message and not say anything. Or like I remember.
But you got a really big cut out of this.
Oh, yeah. One of my biggest songs to this day is Manila Killa and AO Beats. And they took a chance on me. They sent me a track. And when I tell you, I wrote that song 75 different times. Like, I did not know how to piece it together. Like, and then my manager at that point, he was trying to help me like figure it out. And is it the best song I've ever written? No. But it was the first song where it's, I remember, take a look at my bank account. It's emptier than our conversations. And I was just like, that's a cool line. And I just dove into this world. And then I remember doing like one with Capslap. I remember doing one with Gosh Father, all these different DJs. And I kind of ran with that for like maybe 2 years, and then I realized, I was like, I don't want to just be an EDM feature girl. But at the time, EDM was so big because the Chainsmokers had just blown up.
You were
up.
Like, I want to be an artist.
Yeah, and I also was like, the EDM feature life is not not the life I want to live. So I then started to take that and worked my way to like writing just over piano tracks. And I then landed my first publishing deal with Pulse in 2015, I believe. And that was when I really got to be placed in the room with some really dope people that I was still very new. And but then collaborating and co-writing, because when I tell you, I'd stuff myself in a room and would just write by myself, which I think ended up being incredible because I wasn't relying on other people at that point. But then to figure out how to co-write with people was also a whole different world. And then I would co-write with people. And then I got really, really good at it. And that's when I started... Everything started to really click for me. I went out to Korea. I would write a lot of K-pop for people.
So now you're kind of becoming the writer girl or the writer person.
Yeah. No one was really taking me serious as an artist, only because I really didn't even know who I was as an artist.
I got to find out what drugs you were doing because I can't write a song to save my life. I just can't. I can't do it. I've tried.
Listen, I'm going to tell you. But there is something. I don't actually. You either have it. You can learn. But I never went to school for it. I never, like, there was something being submerged into the actual life of it. Because when I tell you, it's an intuition gut thing now. Like, I know exactly when a melody, like, it just...
When it works.
It just, it's weird.
So, okay, so, but the real point is that this music you're putting out now is so great, and it's really making waves here in Nashville. How do you end up in Nashville? Or what, because you came here to write.
Yep.
And it was somebody in Nashville. Your song originally, What If I Don't, you were going to throw that out for you
Pitch.
Were pitching that song.
Yeah, yeah.
And who says to you in Nashville, you're an artist?
Crazy. This guy, Ilya Tyshynsky.
Who's one of the best. I didn't know that that's who said that, but he's one of the best
Wild.
Musicians, producers, acoustic guitar.
He has Jelly Roll's single right now, Son of a Sinner. Like,
so, but what? How do you end up in the room with him?
So, crazy story. Long story short, I 2018 signed my first record deal as a solo artist. It's great. Republic was amazing. 2019, everything we're like gearing up for the single, all this stuff. COVID happens. COVID ended up being what I thought was the worst moment of my life, the best thing that could have ever happened to me. Because I realized there was like some people, nobody on the Republic side, but some core people that were closest to me that energetically, all different things, it was so bad. It was so bad. And the music I was making, like pop then started to shift. I fell out of love with it. And I think I really fell out of love with it because there was like a certain person that would kind of like rip it to shreds. Like, and I hated everything at the end of it. So 2020 gave me a second to step away from that energy And I started going inward and I was like, who am I outside of music? Like, I don't even know. Do I even love doing this anymore? Which was the first time in my entire life I'd questioned it, which was terrifying. 2021 happens. People are kind of starting to like get back in the studio. And my manager at the time sets me up with this guy, Tommy Hubbard, who is now my manager. Tommy was like, listen, she has these like country melodies that she's just trying to fit into a pop box, which it's crazy because it's true. My entire life, I grew up on country music, learned how to sing in church. Like it was, I love country music. Like that's what I learned from like my very core. So I did, I had all of these country melodies and I would just try to fit it with pop lyrics, which were way edgier. And all the time people would be like, you just have this Southern thing. Let's try to do like, let's dye your hair red. Let's shave your head. Let's do this. Like, and it was always trying to get away from like really who exactly what I was just a Southern girl that had country leaning music. So Do-Si-Do happens during COVID, which is one of my songs that I put out. It was the most like reactive as of like any one of the songs that I'd put out. It was the most that kind of got people's attention, which it really wasn't country at all, but it definitely had that leaning twang. So I was like, that's interesting. Do a session with Tommy, and he's like, listen, you should come with me to Nashville. My management at the time was like, she's never going to work as an artist. You need to put your head down, go out there, and just write for other people. And I was like, okay, cool.
Did
like,
Tommy try to poach you for management? Or no. It was just, it just sort of happened that way.
It was crazy because like, he was just like, because he's actually a really dope writer. He started off as an artist years ago. Like,
yeah.
And he was like, you should just come out here. He already had, so he had connections out here already from years before being out here. And he's like, just come with me. Let's do some writes. And he was like, and bring some songs that you think could be pitched for country artists out here. So the first day I'm here, we get in with Ilya to track this pop song that I had had. And the song like was definitely still too edgy to put for any country artist. But he came in the room afterwards and I was like, all right, like, I don't know how this works, but like, who do we hear this for? And he was like, listen, I'm coming in here to tell you, what are you doing? He's like, why are you not out here and why are you not doing country? And he was like, I can see it. Like, let's talk. Like, let's get you out here to actually do some writes. And he opened up his Rolodex like 2-3 weeks later. I came out and the first session I had was with Lindsey Rhymes, Seth Ennis, and Phil Barton. And I wrote What If I Don't at 9 a.m.
So who writes this line? Because I this opening line about waterproof makeup, I've never known that that was the thing. Is that a real thing?
Oh, it's
that,
a thing.
But I'm sure waterproof makeup is a thing. But is that a real thing that you could be crying so much that you need to have waterproof makeup?
Oh, there was a
As
point
a guy, I've never thought about this.
There was
but
a point of my
real.
Breakup like that I truly like... I mean, I couldn't go probably 2 hours without crying.
And you're buying waterproof makeup.
100%.
That's the thing that happens.
Or I just wouldn't wear any because I was like, I'm going to cry it off.
And who comes up with that? Is that your line?
Yeah, that one
I feel
was,
like that's such a great opening line.
Yeah, that was, I had said something about like waterproof mascara and Seth like, because I think it was at the second verse at that point. And then we flopped the verses and it was just like, oh, this is crazy. And then it just started to write itself. Cause I had like thrown out, I think I threw that out as like a title of like waterproof mascara. And we all like went back on titles. We ended up landing on What If I Don't. And then later on it came in and was just like, wait, let's use the waterproof mascara. So
that line just pulls you in, right?
It's crazy.
So this, okay, but this song, you put this song out, you put this out independently, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I was at a Grammy party in LA. Mm-hmm. I don't know, a couple weeks ago, rooftop, the primary wave party. I started talking to this like very big A&R guy. He's a friend of mine, major label A&R guy.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, you're from Nashville. And I was like, yeah. And he was like, do you know Shay Lynn? I was like, well, I don't know her, but like I know her song. And he was like, dude, we're dying to sign her. Like I'm trying to figure out like we love the music, we love everything. And I was like, oh, cool. Like I didn't really like say anything.
Oh shit, that's
but
wild.
But I think the point is like people are looking at you. Like
it's,
people
for the first time in my entire career. Like
yeah.
It's not just my mom. Like it's weird.
But like do you feel that? Like
oh, it's actually like kind of crazy now because like I think I like a part of me wants to acknowledge it and a part of me doesn't because it's just I've prayed and hoped for like just more than 10 people. Like I prayed for like we don't have to run ads on music. We don't have to like put in people's faces
They're
without
gonna
want
them
it. Finding it.
Yeah.
And we didn't really do that on this like first release because we were like, okay, listen, we have only so much budget to work with. Like let's just see how it responds. And one, when I even made the initial like announcement of like, hi, I'm switching, everyone's like, you should have done this years ago. I'm like, why didn't anyone
why
say anything?
Why didn't nobody tell me? But are people coming, like, have you had those conversations yet for this new music?
Mm-hmm.
Is something on the way?
Like,
are we locked into something?
Not yet. We're still independent. We're still independent. But I am going to a meeting today right after this.
Really?
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is really like...
It's changing my life.
This country thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but what if I don't? You put that up on TikTok, does mm-hmm. really well. There's a great video of your grandpa.
Mm-hmm.
You end up on the Kelly Clarkson show.
Wild.
No, I'm sorry. What if I don't? Or
do it right the first time
is when you have this video of your grandpa that like goes viral.
Yep.
Why does what if I don't go viral? Do you have any idea? Or it just went?
It just went. And then it still continues to go. Like it's every time I post it, it's just, and it's been 8 months now. But like even on Spotify, like, it just hit 4 million at the beginning of February, and then not even a month later,
now it's got 5 million, yeah.
And I'm just like, wait, what?
Do it right the first time. What I don't understand about this is you break up with your boyfriend, and your mother who says, you need love
you
advice.
Need to call, yep.
Why don't you go hang out with your grandparents?
Yeah, because she's like, your dad and I aren't together.
The last person I'm going to for love advice would have been my grandparents.
Same.
I'm not going to them for any of this.
Okay.
But he had something meaningful to say. Your grandfather had something meaningful to say to you about.
And they're just like when I tell you my Mimi and Papaw, since day one when I moved out to Los Angeles, like they sent me money for the first like 6 months to help me out because they were just like, listen, it's not a whole lot, but like we know you're going to make it. And it's just like... From the very beginning, my grandparents, they're just so special to me. They also were both 96 and married 75 years.
Holy cow.
So I was like, listen, you probably do have something that like makes sense as far as like
And it turns
love.
Out he says something. Mm-hmm. Your grandfather, he says this line, do it right the first time you go. That could be a song.
Like, so it's crazy. He said it in a different, like he had said, what exactly did he say? He said, do it, because like we were talking about like when you... Go to fold your clothes. Our parents have always said that. Like, do it right the first time
Make
so you don't got to do it again. Like,
yeah.
And there was this writer, Sean, that was in the room. Because this was a year later that I wrote it. But my grandpa had said something very similar of, like, try to do it right the first time with whoever. Like, love your hardest. Like, do everything that you possibly can on any front. Try to do it right the first time. And if you fail, it's okay. And I just remember sticking, like, I was like, wow, like, on all... aspects, like it is so true, like don't half-ass shit, you know, go all in. And there was this writer, Sean, that had come into the room, and he had said like a title that I was like, wait, my grandparents said that to me when we were going through a breakup, like something very similar. And that's where we got it from. At first we were trying to figure out, do we write it on like do everything right the first time, like go cut the grass. And then it was like, no, do love right the first time. Like if you really go all in with something, and that's one thing I can say about that last relationship is I went all in. Like and there is not one point where I could turn around and be like, I regret, like, no, you had all of me.
That was it.
I kind of do regret it because I got shit on, but it's fine.
What was this, an LA person?
Yeah.
Have you dated any Nashville men yet?
No.
Could be on the horizon.
Let's see. I am married to my career right now.
And your dog.
God, Beans. It's the only guy that's never let me down.
Beans, the dog.
He's right there.
Tattooed on her.
Tattooed.
Okay. The point is, though, that Shailen is putting out some great music in country music right now. What if I don't? Do it right the first time. It's all on Spotify. You just need to go find it and listen to it. You need to follow her on TikTok.
Yeah.
And it's all there. And what? So now we've got a big meeting this afternoon.
Yeah,
with someone.
With a label, yeah.
Is your manager gonna accompany you?
He's gonna come.
To that? He's gonna come.
I'm
to
gonna
that.
Tell him that he's now gonna come with me everywhere.
Are you? Because I feel like where I am is like I used to go into meetings trying to like sell myself,
mm-hmm.
and now I'm like, just sell me.
Just sell me.
Like now, like I'm like you've already made up your mind whether you want me or not.
100%.
I'm not gonna be able to say anything to you in this meeting.
100%.
That's gonna change your mind.
100%.
So now it's like, what are you gonna do for me? Like, do you have that feeling a little bit in this meeting? You could bring that mentality.
That's where I had a mental shift when like not even when I started this. All I was like, you know what? It's the first time in my life where I stand by exactly what I wrote. I stand by the entire vision down to the artwork.
Yeah.
There's nobody that was telling me to change a lyric. There was no, like, I turned the songs in and they stayed as is.
If this guy tells you, you're great, but we need you to dye your hair brunette.
Wouldn't do it.
You're not going to do that.
Nope.
No.
Young me would have and did. You should see some of the stuff. I'm sure you have. I'm like, I wore no clothes at one point. My family and I like were at war with each other. I said the F word every chance I got because I had somebody in my ear that was just like edgier. Like, it's only going to work if it's edgier.
Yeah.
And that wasn't me. I do love the F word, but like, it just wasn't who I was. Like, they were like, "You're blonde, makes you look too Texas, too this." Like, even at one point, they were just like, "It's too like porn star looking." And I was like, "What? Like,
why? Like, was
I don't know."
So in this meeting, though, we're gonna be
just like, "Hey, listen,
what are you gonna do for me? I'm doing great without you. Okay, what are you gonna bring to the table?"
That's the mentality
that we hope to have.
I have this joke with one of my friends. It's like, you need me, I don't need you. And like, yeah. I told him to go into a meeting like that. It did not go so well for him, but we joked.
It's all about levels.
We're like, you need me.
You need to play it up with the right levels.
Yeah.
How do you make friends in Nashville? Do you have a lot of friends here yet?
Or you know, you what? I do have a lot friends. Of friends. I made a lot of friends fast.
Yeah.
I think also because I came in really hot and was just like, I think that I was thrown into rooms that I am so thankful for because I know that Ilya using this Rolodex for like, and but I had to prove myself to be in there, and I think that I did. And I made a lot of like, it was like, oh, okay, like she's good at this.
Yeah. So you make like mostly songwriter friends? Like,
I have a lot of songwriter friends. I am kind of a grandma and don't go out a lot, so yeah. I don't really have friends outside.
You're not
of,
at Red Door every night.
I was at a, there was a moment.
There was a moment.
There
yeah.
was a moment where I was blacked out at Red Door every,
yep,
every
you got
night.
You got to.
It was like, it was crazy. I was like, how have I gained 30 pounds in
a month? What's the equivalent
of
that in LA? Where do people go and hang?
You know what's so funny? There's not a night, like, I guess Delilah, the nice guy, yeah. But like, that's what I love about Nashville is like, people go out, they're not worried about like the photo that they took to show that they were there. Like,
they're at Red Door. It's the worst bar ever.
But it's so fun. It's so, like, you don't know why you're there. You don't know what hour.
I went there last night for the first time in months.
Yep.
And I was there till like 1 in the morning. I was what is going on?
You don't
like,
know how you
doing?
Get sucked in.
It sucks you in. College cafeteria.
I love it so much.
Leave.
Yeah. And you could turn around and be talking to like somebody that's in college, or you could be talking to like a
Shawn
veteran.
Shawn Mendes' like producer will be there.
You
or, like,
have
John
no
Party
idea.
Will be in the corner. It's like what, like we could all decide on a better bar.
It's so crazy, but like at the same time, sort of love it.
Yeah,
I sort
There's no
love
ego
it.
At Red Door.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so Shailen's got a big meeting right after this.
Yeah.
And something might come of it, but if it doesn't, it's okay.
It's okay. Honestly, that's where I'm at.
She doesn't need anyone. That's
they
the
need
fucking
me.
Point. She's doing well enough on her own. She doesn't need anything. She's got a great manager. Who didn't come to this, but that's fine. I know Tommy means well.
Have you ever met Tommy at all?
A couple times.
Okay.
Yeah,
he's fired after today. Should I fire him?
You should hire Josh Rothstein.
Oh,
instead.
Wow. God, I love Josh.
Is Josh not the greatest?
He's honestly like one of.
He's
not
the best.
Only is he brilliant.
Yeah.
The coolest guy I've ever met.
No,
he's
the best.
Low key about it.
Yeah.
Like, he'll fuck some shit up. But
no,
like,
he will. I'm missing his wedding. He's really mad at me.
Why are you missing it? Is it important that you're like?
Well, one of my lifelong, Josh is really, he's going to probably hear this. Josh is one of my closest friends. We're really tight. But I have another friend that I've known like my whole life.
Okay.
And his wedding is the same weekend. And that friend actually invited me to his wedding.
Okay.
Probably, no joke, 72 hours before Josh invited me to his wedding.
Oh, God.
And you know what? Josh called me and he said to me, because I was going to be in the wedding.
Okay.
Like, I was going to be like in the groomsman.
Okay.
And Josh called me and he said, if my wedding is on this date, will you be able to attend? And I said, no. And he said, well, our wedding is going to be that date.
Okay.
And I said, I don't know what you want from me. But he holds this over me every chance he gets. He just threw a birthday party this past weekend. He was like, you come to the birthday? I was like, I can't come to the birthday. He said, so you're missing the wedding
and
the birthday?
And the birthday. Shit.
He holds it over me. Shit. I think he's half kidding. But
like
he's milking
also, there's
it.
Like a little bit of like
he's milking
because you're gonna have to do something like big.
I gotta get him a great fucking wedding gift.
Huge wedding gift.
I can't afford a big wedding gift for Josh. My God,
you get him like a really dope coffee maker or something.
Maybe.
But
Josh is the guy. You've got a good team between Tommy and
honestly,
Josh. You've got this figured out.
It's wild because it all, like I said, it's really crazy when you're supposed to do, I'm a firm believer, like God, when you're in it,
yeah.
it's it's almost like it's, I don't want to say easy, but it is like things just kind of start falling into place. And like the people that are supposed to be around you, like even just like meetings that I'm taking down to like hair and makeup or something. Like I just know that I'm like, okay, yeah, these are supposed to be my people now. Like before, I think that I was being led by people that I wasn't even supposed to be. Like I like fell into something, but it had to happen because the outcome is I met Tommy.
Yeah.
And this whole wildfire started. And like it was so funny. Tommy and Andy, we started a company called Two Hats Music. And I just remember Andy, like we went down to his lake house to write, like right after Nashville. And he was like, a year, you're going to live here and you're going to be like, just wait. He was like, you are going to work. And I was just like, I was so beat down at that point in my life. Like I truly was like, you know what? I don't want to have to write for other people. But if that's what it's going to take to just continue to just stay in music, I'll do it. And I was so just broken at that point that I was like, yeah, maybe. And literally not even a year later, like it was crazy.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Before you know it, you're at Red Door.
Literally.
Have you played a show yet? Headlining show? You did Whiskey Jam?
I did Whiskey Jam.
Didn't you play a show recently that was like, or am I making this up?
I was like, where have I been in the last?
Maybe not.
Whiskey Jam's like the most headlining. As far as like, I do have a few shows in April coming up. I know that one of them, I know if you were at Tin Roof.
Those are fun.
Those are so
fun.
I've
done those shows.
I haven't done Tin Roof yet, but I've
played every one.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, do you play?
Yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah. Guitar. What?
Okay, you're not, I was like, do you do the artist thing?
No.
Okay, I was gonna say, I was like, hold on, how did I not know that? You play guitar.
Guitar.
Which is why you have a guitar over there.
Not my guitar, that just happens to be here.
Interesting.
I just gave it away.
Interesting.
But yeah, I went out with this band last year. We did 40 dates, Temecula Road. We did the full We did the full Tin Roof tour.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's fun times.
Some are better than others, but they're all
heard.
Fun.
I've heard some are like, you just got to get through the night.
So we've had some sound guys that were horrible. We had some sound guys who were great.
Honestly, I go into every show just like, pray to God. Like, it is a good day if you get like solid sound.
No, that's day. It. Oh my God, we had sound guys who would hand us the iPad, like hand our tour manager the iPad, and they'd be like, I'm going to smoke cigarettes, like you're on sound.
No.
And he's like, I don't know what to do. Like,
no.
Yeah, that happened like multiple times.
No.
But then we had guys who were great. But they're fun. And
they're
you know
so
what?
They're so fun.
Like,
and people don't care.
Do you have a band yet?
I do.
So like we got so tight as a band. Like, because then the next tour, we went on the Breland tour.
Okay.
Which was
my
great.
Boy.
And we went out and we were doing like 35-minute sets.
That's fire.
And one night they were like, you guys need to play another 20 minutes. Like something, I don't know what happened. But in the middle of our set, they were like, you need to play for another 20 minutes. And the only reason we could have done that was because we did the what do you call it? The other tour.
Yep. Yep.
But why can't we just set it?
Temecula Road.
No. The venues.
Tin Roof.
Thank you. We did the Tin Roof tour. That was the only reason we could do that. Because we could have played for 4 hours. Like,
that's
we had that much
wild.
Music. So we were like, okay,
also,
like
he's
we need.
Just a genius.
Yeah, he's unbelievable.
It's disgusting.
Yeah.
I just, like, because we were friends before that, but we just written together for the first time.
Yeah.
And I was just like, man, like, you're on another level.
Yeah.
A kid's genius.
Yeah, he's really good.
And I just love him as a human.
Yeah, it's really
good
annoying.
Boy, that
he's
boy.
So talented.
It's so annoying.
It's so annoying.
And he could say, like, when he just does the riffs, and I'm like,
oh,
okay.
Oh, my God. I flew back from Australia with him. I was in Australia for CMC Rocks. Random at the airport. We're sitting next to each other on the flight. Like, so random. The entire flight home, he's, like, singing melodies to himself. Like, that dude just can't get the music out of his head.
Wild.
He's just in it.
It's wild.
He's in it.
He's on another level.
Yeah.
Another level.
Okay, Shaylin, I got to thank you for coming in the studio.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. What if I don't do it right the first time? You probably know these songs already. If you're listening to this podcast and you're a country music fan, you probably know this music. But you should listen to it again, and you should find it, and you should follow Shaylin on TikTok.
Thank you.
Shaylin. Shaylin. And she's doing a country thing. She's found where she's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Which is here in Nashville making country music.
Yeah.
And if you want to see something really great, you should watch the TV show.
No, let's not.
The Wannabes.
Let's never watch The Wannabes.
ABC.
Oh,
it's
God.
Out there. You can find it.
God.
And I think it could have been a massive show.
I honestly, for that time, it
100%. It had the right it to me it did not doesn't feel that different from any of the other shows that were big at that time.
It was also supposed to be a Disney thing.
Yeah.
And there was like politics in that, but it was
Yeah.
You know. But it all worked out the way it was supposed to.
Part two. We'll get into it.
Okay, there's a lot.
Shailen, I wish you luck in this meeting this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much.
And we'll see you next time.
Cool. I always